once again, great to have you with us. I'm Jeff Smith, and this is Leading Edge. Coming up, the Sylvania Bakery that's going global. But first, Toledo's Director of Economic Development wrote an editorial in the Sunday Blade last week touting Toledo's momentum. I asked him if this was meant to be a reminder, a refresher for those who have been a part of Toledo's rebirth, or a rallying cry.
All of the above. You know, this story is really meant to put into context everything that's happening. I feel like many times we have a project announcement and it's a big news story and then often goes quiet. And many people don't see the string of activity that's happening, the catalytic impact that happens as a result of that. And so I do a number of presentations to people coming to our city to invest or relocate. I also do a number of in-market presentations as well. And the feedback that I get when I talk about everything that we have going on is, wow, this is truly incredible. You guys, for the size city that you are, have a lot of investment happening. And I felt like, based on the responses that I got from people inside our market and outside our market, that I wanted to remind the public that we are a Renaissance city and we have a lot going on all throughout the community, not just in particular parts of downtown, but truly all throughout the city.
Couple of questions off of what you just said right there. And I've asked this Connect Toledo. I've asked this Destination Toledo. I'm curious how you sell the city, because you've got places like Fort Lauderdale. You've got places like, let me just say, there's more sunshine. There's more to package sometimes when you look at these other cities, not necessarily bigger. I'm not saying some of the major metropolitan areas, but how do you sell it?
Yeah, it really is dependent on the project and the client, right? What they're interested in doing. I feel like we have assets here that a lot of other communities don't have that we can play off of for people looking at doing redevelopment, for people at looking at doing downtown redevelopment projects. And then we also have, from an industrial standpoint, a lot of assets that other communities don't have as well. And so it's always playing to our strengths. And it's very client specific. It's depending on what they are looking at doing in the market. I feel like we have a wealth of assets and pros that we can pitch.
What about the buildings that kind of are scattered about the downtown? And I know you point out the Four Corners area and what's going on there, but I'm curious about Fifth Third Bank, One Seagate, some of the other properties around the downtown that may not be at full occupancy, and how you go about it. Is that important in this scheme to fill those? Do you ever think, in our lifetime, Brandon, we'll see those buildings at full occupancy ever again? And I know there's optimism, but I'm looking for realism.
You know, the realism approach to this is, you know, downtown Toledo has been converting vacant buildings for decades. They have not necessarily been office buildings. We've been converting old warehouse buildings, particularly in our warehouse district. We've also been successful at converting former retail buildings, our department stores, the LaSalle, hotels, the Commodore Perry. We've been doing that literally for decades. It just so happens that the pandemic has kind of exacerbated a problem all throughout the country, which is the work from home and the need for less space. And so now we're starting to see that challenge happen in some of our office towers. And so when I think about our economic development strategy as it relates to downtown, it's absolutely trying to maintain the workforce that we have down here in their footprints, but it's also activating downtown, making sure that we are bringing visitors in from all over, for whether it be concerts, you know, sports, yoga in the park, movie night, you know, just kind of a diverse array of activities, and then as well as residential. And, you know, we have an extreme demand down here for residential units. We are very successful at, once we bring a new apartment complex online down here, that it typically fills up very quickly based on the demand that we see. So bringing more bodies downtown to live and play, we know the work environment is changing and will continue to change and evolve. But this is something that every city in America is experiencing, which I will say benefits us because for so long we were redeveloping these former hotels and warehouses when maybe the rest of the country wasn't, having the similar problem with their downtown. Now that the rest of the country is experiencing this challenge with their office spaces, we're seeing, the state of Ohio and the federal government start to stand up resources that places like Toledo can start to utilize to push these buildings further on towards redevelopment. So I'm very hopeful. I look at this as an opportunity for our downtown, not necessarily a negative.
And obviously, we're looking at the landscape behind you and your screensaver, but not everybody has a river upon which to build its dreams. We'll talk a little bit about the Riverwalk here in a second. On the topic of residency, and this is going to be something just kind of thought bubble. The building behind you, Fifth Third Building, could that ever be turned into residence? Because I can't think of a more visual apartment building than what you're looking at right there, and you're trying to bring people downtown.
I absolutely think it could. And we're starting to see building owners get more strategic about how they reposition their buildings here. The city has taken some steps that other communities are still have not done to make it easier to reconvert those buildings to residential. So for example, we've updated our zoning code to allow building owners to convert these to residential easier and to not necessarily provide parking minimums that are very costly when redeveloping these buildings. And so I absolutely think we will see, some key buildings on our skyline convert maybe partially or fully to residential, which is, kind of a part of how downtown is evolving, throughout the country.
Can we say here today that that is already in motion?
That the building, that the Fifth Third Building is being
Yes,
converted
I will ask
residential.
specifically about that one.
No, I do not know that for sure to
Okay.
say.
Okay.
Yes.
Just wanted to ask that.
More to come right after this. Welcome back to Leading Edge. Our conversation with Toledo's Economic Development Director continues. We dive into the projects that he says give him hope for Toledo's future.
You made it a point to grab five or six different things that are going on. The first one behind you, the Glass City Riverwalk, $200 million of investment. Your dreams, your hopes for that.
This is really the most transformational project happening in our region. This is taking an asset that we've always had. Part of the reason why we are here in Toledo is because of that riverfront. It was the Interstate 75 before interstates were there. It was our railroads before railroads were built. It's the reason Toledo is here. And in many ways, the riverfront is still a vital part of our industrial companies and our economy. But when you look at downtown Toledo and the adjacent neighborhoods, there isn't much industry in that specific part of our downtown that utilizes the riverfront. And so when we look at other communities and how they have successfully, ignited development, not only downtown, but in the surrounding neighborhoods, they have reclaimed their riverfronts. And so we embarked on this project back in 2017 with Metroparks to build the country's best riverwalk.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean it. I mean, and it's not just me. If you hear Dave Zank at the Metroparks, the mayor, the county commissioners, we all truly believe that we are building the country's best riverwalk. And
Well, I know there have been politicians who have come into town as well and marveled at what has gone on in the Toledo they knew and the Toledo that exists right now. Brandon, I have to ask you because I think from a reader's perspective, from just I guess a reporting perspective, we've heard of the money that was lost as far as investment is concerned by ProMedica Corporation for this. And I'm not throwing stones at ProMedica specifically. I'm just talking about Metroparks working to gain, and you talk about this, state funding, federal funding, local funding. Is that there? Is that going to suffice to get us through?
we are a very resourceful community. Every single one of those projects that I've listed in my editorial has been able to leverage or is in the process of trying to leverage federal and state dollars to make them work. You know, unfortunately, the economics of projects in our community are such that we have to rely on those to make things work. And so I will absolutely say that, yes, it is still moving forward. As you, you know, probably have experienced yourself, the Glass City Metro Park opened last year in June of last year and has been wildly successful. Metro Parks was successful in getting a federal build grant to help with the build out of the international park side. So yes, it is, I think, a setback when you have a major funder like that pull funding, but we are a very resourceful community and we'll find another way to make it happen.
For Joe Toledo, and why are these next three important? What's happening in the Uptown District, the Four Corners in downtown, and the conversion of the Northtown Mall property there being the Toledo Trade Center Industrial Park. Why are those important to Joe Toledo?
So starting with the Uptown project, when we, each community does a comprehensive economic development strategy, right? It's where all the partners get together in the region and pick the priorities of what we should be focusing on collectively as a region. And one of the top recommendations from our report this past time was to establish an innovation district. We are looking at starting up and scaling up companies that might not be a part of our legacy industries that we have typically, you know, had in this community, automotive, glass, et cetera. When you look at the story of Toledo and the story of glass, it really was all about innovation and startups. Michael Owens came from Libby, you know, Edward Drummond Libby, and how the bottle machine started and how that turned into fiberglass and how fiberglass, you know, turned into now solar. And we are home to the, you know, the country's largest solar company, First Solar. We have always been, you know, at the heart of innovation, and we're looking at trying to streamline that in a particular area where we can co-locate companies and resources to help businesses and entrepreneurs do just that.
And so a great part of town, obviously, right there off Cherry and Summit. Four Corners and obviously what's reconverting the Northtown Mall area.
Yeah, Four Corners is a $200 million redevelopment project of two historic office buildings in downtown Toledo. There is the potential to convert that to just under 400 new apartment units downtown. That'd be the largest project that we have downtown, and certainly the largest privately led project happening in our community. This has the potential to bring 600 new residents to the city and really rejuvenate a part of downtown Toledo that hasn't seen the type of development as other parts. And then finally, the Toledo Trade Center site. This is the redevelopment of the Northtown Mall property that sat vacant for over 20 years. This, in terms of economic development, has the potential to be our community's largest employment center. It's actually larger than the Overland Industrial Park, where Dana and Mako have operations there and over 3,000 jobs. The first spec building was completed earlier last year. And we announced just before the end of last year that Mobis is going to create the platform that batteries sit in for the Gladiator and the Wrangler. So when we look at how the city is funded as well, we are primarily funded on income tax collections. So the ability to attract job creation projects that pay higher wages, like a Mobis operation, continues to bring in revenue to the city so we can provide other services for our residents.
Brandon, we got about a minute left. You also went on to talk about the fact that Sears and Elder Beerman are gone off of the Westgate North property, the Colony Lofts property, the project there. You can find more about this at ToledoBlade.com and look up Brandon Sellhorse in the opinion section. I want to ask in our last 45 seconds, will we see the fruits of this labor come to fruition in our lifetime, you think, with all of this stuff?
Probably the number one question that I get outside of when will Trader Joe's come to Toledo is what's happening with Westgate. And so this has been a priority project for this administration. It is a massive 30-acre site in a densely populated part of our city. We have been partnering with the developer to redevelop that site. As you may remember, we got over $10 million through the state of Ohio to take down both buildings and remediate the properties over there. And now the developer is finalizing their plans to roll out to the community, hopefully later this year. So housing is a priority for our community. We are always looking at ways to bring in new housing and different types of housing and affordability. We anticipate that this will have a major housing component attached to it, as well as, you know, some higher end retail. So we are very excited about the redevelopment of Westgate.
Welcome back. There is something sweet in Sylvania. The city just paved the way for Madeline's Patisserie to grow, and growing is just what it's doing. Here's our conversation with chef and owner Chris Nixon while he was at a food show in Vegas.
Talk to me a little bit about the process. Obviously, the transition happened from one venture to the next, but how do you go about making this transition and making it so successfully? What is the secret to your success?
I don't know if I'd call it a smooth or a successful transition. I don't know. We should have done it earlier is what I've, well, found out lately. But of course, you know, hindsight's always perfect. So it just dominated sales. So when we started seeing the outside interest to ship product, it almost seemed too good to be true. And I think we did it, you know, we didn't want to let go of the restaurant because it was doing all right. So, but at a certain point, that building was maxed out. So we had croissants everywhere, plus people trying to run a restaurant, and that was not working. So I probably should have done it sooner. I'll tell you that.
For people that aren't familiar with the model, talk to me a little bit about the model of Madeline's. What's it all about?
Look, we're just using really good ingredients, classic French technique to produce, classic French croissants in this case with a few different flavors. We sort of took all the rules from the restaurant and applied them to the new venture. We saw a big gap in the market for people that were creating baked goods you could buy in distribution that were done without, you know, using any chemicals. There's no fillers. There's no additives. It's all 100% butter, really high-end flour. And when we saw that gap and then also saw the results of the sales, we were like, oh, man, we should probably be doing this. So there you go.
I guess the next question is, what makes a good croissant? What makes a great croissant?
Butter. There you go. look, one of our things we really like is our technique is really good. So we try to monitor everything from temperatures of butter to butter fat to different timing between steps really closely. And that way we can produce the same result over and over again at a very high level. It takes a whole army of people to do it that way. And we don't use any dough conditioner or any of the additives that are kind of normal in the industry. So we're very hands-on with it to try to make sure we can get through those processes at a high level. So, yeah, to make a good one, it takes a lot of people and definitely a lot of temperature control and really good ingredients.
The other thing you talked about it taking an army, and obviously what happened this past week with the city of Sylvania and securing this land, this property on Holland, Sylvania to put the bakery and to create a future, right? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really cool step for us. I think the mayor was awesome and looking forward and checking it out. And I mean, we were trying to leave the area, so we just couldn't find property at a good enough price, and he really made it happen, seeing the job potential. It takes a lot of people. We operate in a different way than most commercial bakeries because we need people. We're not automated. We have some machines to help, like bigger mixers, but that's not, we still got a guy cutting the dough. So, it'll be interesting to see as we grow because, like, this week we picked up sales to Puerto Rico. Bermuda will ship to a lot of the cruise lines. We're going to Connecticut, Texas, California. And obviously those will increase orders and we'll increase staff. So
how are you securing these deals? I mean, how do you go about the pitch? Do they come to you? Do you go to them? We're talking Mackinac Island. We're talking Delta Airlines. You just mentioned the global reach that you guys are starting to have.
Well, look, there's a lot of people very interested in fixing a lot of food service issues. And people on the larger side, like those large companies you're mentioning, right, they've got labor problems still. They're looking for someone who's going to make something as well as they were making it and save them labor. And we fit that bill very well. And we're kind of a unique company in this space. So we also keep getting phone calls. That's more or less it. So as long as we keep up, we'll do all right.
My French is a little rusty. Is it patisserie? How do you say that?
I'm staying out of this, all right? I'm from Toledo. I cook French. I don't speak it very well. My wife will make fun of me. She lived there for too long. So, but patisserie is as close as I can get. How about that?
There are hopes, there are dreams to expand the workforce, possibly in the first 2 years that you guys, from the time you turn dirt to getting in-house. How big could this go? What are your hopes? What are your aspirations?
Look, I think it's really cool that it's an industry that's been dominated by as cheap as you can make it, please, and as poor of quality as you can make it. I think it's really cool. There's some demand for the other end of that. I'm happy to be a part of the other end where we're turning out something my kids can, you know, be really proud of. As big as it goes will be as big as the market allows it. So, you know, if there's still going to be a continued demand for, you know, real food and higher quality ingredients, then we'll be all right.
Right there in little old Sylvania.
Yeah. Tell me about it. So, and we're looking to add a few different product lines. So that'll be the other key to expansion is, you know, different areas like that. So.
Perfect. Chris, continue. Good luck. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome back for a final time. Once again, a big thank you to Brandon Sellhorst and Chris Nixon for spending some time with us here this week. A reminder, if you missed any part of our interviews, you can always check them out on our WTOL 11 YouTube page. And Leading Edge becomes a podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you next year, next time here on Leading Edge. I'm Jeff Smith.